Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
Experimental radio produced by NASCAD University.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled The Thought That Counts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
This is radio host I Just Escaped Them, and I'm here to lay some truth on y'all. See, I've prepared myself for this moment. I'm going to physically beat the stupid out of you, even if it takes all night. I've got a baseball bat. I'm in fit shape. I have been working out, so I will not tire. I'm wearing bicycle gloves here tonight that will assist me in gripping the bat, no matter what the bat is covered in. I will do terrible things in the name of knowledge. I will bite the ignorance from your fingernails until you are without an arm. And potentially, if required, they will not be able to put Humpty back together again. I won't kill Humpty, but I will learn Humpty good. Humpty will be kept alive and aware.
Up to a certain point, I was rather enjoyed sitting on walls till until the mishap, of course. It's a fine art of sitting on a wall, particularly being in an egg, where it's things are so much about balance and control and being in the moment. So intoxication, it's rather insulting sort of implication. Oh, people go by. All of my energy's meant on like balance. It is quite difficult to discuss the accident. It was rather quite embarrassing. It was always, and of course, it's embarrassing to be surrounded by so many of these strangers, so there's so many people these gawking around, and I'm there, and my oak's all over the place, and I got these yahoos looking down at me. They were just like, you know, making it more of a mess than anything else. Whatever they were doing, it just made it worse and worse, and I just cracked up more. You know, what are horses and king's men doing trying to put an egg back together? They should have just like put a perimeter around, got some expert in there. No, I'm not very happy with how everything sort of turned out. Where did they come up with this idea? They couldn't put me back together for a reason, out of pure incompetence on the part of the administration. I don't feel like I've been put back together properly. Yes, it is easier for now for me to sit on walls because, you know, I'm no longer the whole egg that I used to be. But, you know, there's a crack there. There's pieces that are missing. I'm not the egg I used to be. No, not about being consumed by other people. Well, for one thing, let me say, it wasn't an incident, it was an accident. I was on the up there, I was balancing, and then the next thing I know, I have these, all these, like, horses and all these soldiers and everything around me. I hope you're not implying that I did anything, like, you know, self-harm, but it's just a pure accident. Like, I haven't seen her ever since this accident happened. Strange, sort of. Like, what exactly did she say? It's been a long time since I heard from her. I just, like, haven't, you know, I've had the accident, and this was 3 days ago, and undergoing extensive plastic surgery. And have you been talking to her? In what way have she glittered up? Decorated? Like, Easter egg decorated? Or Christmas ornament or egg decorated? Well, that's understandable because it's like mid-March and Easter is a few weeks away. And of course, why wouldn't she get glittered up even though I've been undergoing extensive surgery right now and face reconstruction? I'm waiting for her to call, I'm waiting for her to send me a text, but, well, why wouldn't she get all glittered up? We were at the agricultural college together. That's where we first met, on the assembly line. We got sorted, share the same dozen egg carton together, and, like, you know, it was just like, well, early on it felt like, you know, yeah, she's all right. It was sort of a mutual attraction that sort of grew over time, and you know, we just spent a lot of time together, had plenty of conversations. Well, changed. Well, I feel I've changed. Well, she seems to have been always interested in staying at home, making a nest for herself, making everything sort of cozy, and I just have this need just to be out there. Well, sitting on walls, sitting up on rocks, balancing, you know, going out and seeing things and seeing the sights. I've started to get a reputation for balancing, staying up late. You know, it's just like, it's not every day you see an egg on a wall. Yeah, I would say there is a certain degree of resentment and part of me, like, attaining a certain degree of talent and expertise and notoriety, for sure, notoriety. Yeah, there was a little bit of friction there. Yes, I'm an egg, but I want to be more than an egg. I want to fulfill my potential. They tried to put me back together. They didn't do that good of a job. I can balance, yes, but it's not there. I could just, like, there is no balance. If I just lie there, you know, where's the thrill? But if I had it all back, I'd do the exact same thing. I would still balance on that wall. I wouldn't fall off necessarily. I wasn't a fan of that, but I gotta be who I am.
Humpty will see and hear all of Humpty's surroundings in order for the things I profess upon Humpty to be seen and heard. I will IV drip medication to keep Humpty alert and learning. Knowledge. I will eat Humpty's entire sense of self until I have literally shat out what Humpty once was, in order to guide Humpty to the facts. The dripping, humid facts. I will renegotiate reality through technological means only available tonight to me and millions of others, just to rub some lessons into your face. Just to have some dark, seeping truth come breaking through you.
I will whisper at you. I will whisper at you.
I'm here to whisper things to you. As you sleep off your mistakes, I will whisper dreams of experience and gifts of wisdom. I have been training my vocal cords to their limits, and my whispering will not stop until you have finished those dreams. I will whisper at you.
I will whisper at you. I will whisper at you. I will whisper at you.
They say witness testimony is often unreliable, but yours? Yours won't be. Because you are going to retain the events and circumstances and all the little things, every single thing in this case. And you will hurt in your breast that you can't say them all to the courthouse. It will harm you that other people have not the capacity or patience to hear your testimony. I will sing interesting anecdotes at you until you can no longer forbear it, and you will attempt to pierce your own eardrums. But you will not be able to do so. I will stop you. Or you will stop yourself and the interesting anecdotes I have. I'm going to share them with you. The illuminating things will rise up and occupy all of your waking mind, all of it, until you have forgotten what your arms felt as they rose to pierce out your eardrums. And you will forget so well that you may just listen. Listen. And through listening, you will gain inspiration that will trickle into your view of the world that was once filled with landmarks for you to guide yourself in this life, and may not help you to feel at home or to find your home or like you have ever been in your home before. Because the dull, plodding cloud of intellect, of laziness, will have been incinerated by the unaware and unremarking sun. The time will come when you are much less of a silly dipshit, of a funny fool, of a gaping clown. But that time will come and pass and be left behind, never to be commented upon or mentioned again. It is with lust and frenzy that I come to you,
with plans for an escape.
escaping this fortress of slavery. A fortress of slavery housing only the misled. Misled by fictional appearances. They have not been the genuine article of the right stuff. Yeah, I remember reading in the New York Review of Books, December 20th, 1979, something about, like, ultimately, Shikasta is not so much a fable of the human will in opposition to a god, you know, similar to the milk trade, who has wronged the fire seeker. And again, this goes back to the farmers who are being affected in rural America.
To be clear, in this analogy, the fire seekers, is that the milk farmer? Or
the milk farmer demands revenge.
Through what conduit do they aim to take that revenge?
Something like an apocalyptic vision. I know that they steal milk products and they ship them overseas.
Where do they ship them to?
I believe it's mostly mainland China. I was reading a very interesting paper, Apocalyptic Visions, Past and Present. This is by William J. Clunan. We actually have Joanne James, who is the editor, and Joanne... Yeah, I read Rick Groen in the Globe and Mail, July 24th, was talking about how your finger as an editor is constantly in the work. He wrote, that day, three precious summers ago, you edited so hard and so well that it was as if nothing remained of the original.
I'm definitely not afraid to go hard when I edit. I edit very intensely. Sometimes there are not too many traces of the original work left to be found. I really impart a lot of what I think the work should be into the work, and I find the most direct route is just to really cut a lot of material. If I don't like it, I'll just cut it. Usually the result is very well accepted.
The first job of a critic is to describe what he has read. As an editor, what have you read?
I think the question would be, really, what have I not read? And the answer is nothing. I pride myself on having read every single piece of literature in existence.
We were just discussing your editing work. I think you are truly a revolutionary. I mean, blurring the lines between realism and super realism the way that you do is quite interesting.
I really try to stay very, very focused and very deeply present while I'm working. I often will meditate for several hours at a time and do yoga as well for hours at a time, even days at a time, without often I'll fast as well, so I won't eat for hours or even days. Of course, just subsisting on water during that time.
Now, I do have to say, though, even during the Renaissance and as long as the Western art was endeavoring to perfect the technique, wouldn't you say it's instead more relevant to focus on aspects such as the early days of the strip when Lil Abner put on the wedding suit of his father?
I definitely think it's important to honor tradition, and, you know, what better way to honor tradition than...
Let me just cut you off right there. As I know you were working on the short poem, Wap Mei, let me just read an excerpt from it. Running man, as part, high school. Father of two, bureaucracy.
Wow, that is so powerful.
No, you know, you were discussing the anatomy of a bat wing in, I think it was one of your press appearances, and I think you said some controversial things, such as the experiences of Chinese families directly affect the growth of certain bones in the bat wing.
The bat is a very important symbol in Chinese culture. Oftentimes the bat represents luck and good fortune and happiness. With the fluidity of human emotion and the transference between happiness and sadness, you can have anatomical differences in the development of the bat wing.
That's certainly fascinating, whether or not it is in fact true, but let us now turn to the picture and consider the other side of it. Why should I say more? Or who does not understand what is about to follow before I have expressed it?
That's a very, very, very deep question.
You smell fantastic.
Thank you, thank you. It's this new musk I've been trying out.
You reek of petunias and sandalwood.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Your book on masturbation was it was a lot to read. It was very long. Yeah.
You know, it's
700 pages.
There hasn't been much said about a man and his penis.
Not ever
being covered.
Really, in the history of Western society, has there been much discussion of men, really, in general? Or
not
anything
really
related to phallic imagery.
I'm sorry, do you mean to imply that males have a sexuality?
I would never imply such a thing. Mm. I would, because of course sexuality is a fiction. The creation of a social apparatus for controlling the effect of our mass media will have to come from ourselves, but wouldn't our guests agree that this also must come from the Almighty God?
I personally would not agree. I am an atheist. I don't
really
believe that the Almighty God actually exists.
There are still some of you around.
I don't have a very good relationship with the idea of the Almighty God.
That's truly fascinating.
Most of God is negative space. Most of negative space is I. Her fingers are columns in the earth. We are her earthy nails. She keeps looking in the mirror. But sometimes when she licks the chocolate off her fingers, I can't see her. I see her reflection in the brick wall.
Where to begin?
My mama was fungus. My daddy was fungus. And there ain't nothing expected of us as fungus. Then, you know, times started to change.
You know, the spore community has had such a really rich impact on the way that we conceptualize ourselves and the world around us, and especially pollen that we see in the air.
If spores today could understand what it was like, you know, 30 years ago as a spore.
The word fungus was the only word I ever knew for myself. Is what I grew up being told I was. I didn't have nothing else. I was just a fungus. All I was fungus.
I think the first time that I met a spore,
I was mowing my lawn, and I ran over a mushroom, and it was one of those big poofy ones that poofed out a bunch of smoke, and I thought, oh, goodness, those are individuals with the potential to sprout legs and live a life among us.
So when I think about my childhood as a spore, I always think of the good times, the times like, you know, when you're playing in the forest and you're lost and all of your other friends have gone home and it's getting cold and it's starting to rain. And you just keep going.
And I was about 7 at the time, and later that evening, I tried to drown myself in a bathtub because I thought I have committed a genocide.
I believe that spores today are becoming more materialistic than spores have ever been in the past. I think that this new prominence and power in society is a double-edged sword.
So, on the topic of being a spore, I have to say there are an enormous amount of misconceptions about us and concepts that are not incorrect, in fact. And I really need to talk about that. People see spores as inanimate, immobile, non-conscious, from another galaxy, and say that we are a cloud of evil. And all of this is completely true. And that's, I think, what people should come to understand about spores and about spore kind. We are here to harm you. We have come from another galaxy, not to conquer, not to dominate politically in any way, simply to harm. To harm you physically while you sleep. And you should fear us. And thinking of it now, saying it out loud, it sounds completely absurd, and I don't know why we would have embarked upon such an endeavor in the first place. It's absolutely ludicrous. As I'm saying this now, I question whether I even am a spore, whether spores exist, whether sounds or communication exist. This might be because I am a non-conscious entity. And I have no awareness of the world around me at all. In fact, the sounds you're hearing are really completely coincidental. It's just like wind blowing through trees. The fact that that statement is correct, if it is a complete coincidence.
From your breasts, your dress, your pillow, your room.
So quick to admit that you weren't a human being.
I'm tired of the lies and living
human. Tell me. I'm quite curious to hear about how your integration into multicellular society has been going.
It hasn't been easy. I've taken a lot of flack from other multicellular organisms, other prokaryotes, and you know, just naturally, you'll find a lot of trash and whatnot from East Rutherford, and it's easy to incorporate oneself and evolve from the density of such an urban area. Mm. And you take inspiration from your surroundings.
We take inspiration from you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, around this point, our attention turns from the physical medium of cinema to, of course, the microscope, considering the nature of your origin. Do you feel that the microscopes will come to the fore in this field?
Of looking at very tiny things, absolutely.
Please, don't be so modest. We all know that you're a star, a huge name in the microscopic cinema
world.
You've
seen the films. You mentioned Colbert. I wasn't sure if that was true or not. Yeah. I would honestly suggest a scanning electron microscope.
Renowned fungal photographer, Phoenix Satellite... I can't pronounce the last name.
It's in Spore, you see.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Wrote of one of your performances, the legendary fungal or spore martial arts master has so far been portrayed by 4 actors in 5 films this year. Tale number 6, introducing a new actor in the role of Master Wong, turns out to be one of the more enjoyable of the bunch. And do you take applause?
I do.
From the intensity of the purple that gushes out from your weeping, from your eyes, in the brackets, mine. From the intensity of the purple that gushes out from your hands, from your neck, which is full of holes. From the intensity of the purple that gushes out from the flower among your legs. I'm the rider of your fountain. You, the basin full of dead fish. When you exhale, I dance above.
Welcome back to The Thought That Counts. We have our mystery teen squad that have just escaped the clutches of Coach Chester. And if you haven't been in with us last time, please tune in. And they have just escaped from a scary car, and we go to the action.
Billy, can you?
What are you gonna
it?
Do?
We gotta take it to the police, man. Can you believe, Coach?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Embezzling money.
We gotta get off this creaky dock in the middle of the woods.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He's sure gonna find us soon. We gotta get
Oh, my God, guys! It's Coach! He's coming!
You kids are never gonna get off this creaky dock in the woods.
No!
It's
no.
Curtains for you.
Billy, I can't swim.
Pete, I'm sorry, but I'm a coward.
Don't make me sick my dog on you.
What about Jessica?
Guys!
We abandoned her.
He's faking it. He doesn't have anything.
Believe you.
He's just here by himself. We can take him.
How dare you claim...
How do you suggest we take him?
Are you kidding me? You brought a cat to a confrontation?
Pete, good luck. I'll go get cops.
Are you paying attention to the lies I'm telling you?
Yeah.
That's enough of you.
Oh my gosh, what's his name?
He doesn't have a name.
Is his name Cupcake? He looks like a little cupcake. Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna get you.
I'm gonna choke you.
No. It was a candy shop. We thought without the bridges, somehow the storm progressed forward and backwards. The flash snapping like a twig underfoot. Broaching the forgotten. Lo and behold, all these functions progress, streaming forward, moving backwards, down the side of forgottenness. Beauty is a chain reaction. Life is a sexually transmitted disease. Talking through and talking between. The purchase within the parameters. Forth and becoming. Troubled for foresight, seconded to none. This is the greatness we describe when we swim against the tide. Place it next to nowhere and forget it ever came backwards.
The Earth is the removed breast of a cancer patient who was dreaming in outer space. The breast had more pain, and her dreams less love.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to Ground Control. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can. Far above the world, planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do. Though I'm past 100,000 miles, I'm feeling very still, and I think my spaceship knows which way to go. Tell my wife I love her very much, she knows.
Ground control to Major Tom. Your circuit's dead. There's something wrong. Can you hear me?
Am I floating round my tin can?
Far above the moon. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
I was the one who gave him his first job. He wanted a job. He looked like a good egg. You know, he was, you know, he liked to yoke around. I won't lie to you. You know, and he seemed to have a thick shell, so I... That's what I did. The reason why I fired him is because he just... He would not blend, if you know what I'm saying. You don't keep your eggs in all in one basket. Well, he was one of those eggs that wasn't all in the basket, if you know what I'm saying. What egg would purposely put himself in harm's way? Okay, now, let's think about this for a second. Here he is. He's an egg sitting on a wall. What did he think was going to happen? What drove him to do that? While I feel bad for, you know, his mother who laid him and, you know, the people who nurtured him and incubated him. And I was kind of happy to hear that they send horses to try and fix him. Oh, did they step on your little precious shell? Yeah, wait till I see the whites of your...
You know, lately, I've been feeling like things are not as solid as I had once thought. Things have become fuzzy and indistinct. I used to feel grounded. The world was there solidly under my feet. I used to be confident that the world really existed. That I arrived in the world, and that when I leave the world it would continue on without me. Things were the way they were. And that was that. But recently I have different feelings. More and more I feel like I'm in free fall. I feel ungrounded. I feel that my thinking about things is interfering with reality. I feel that my thoughts are creating the world. If I didn't think about it, then the world would not exist. Cinema has taught me that reality comes to me. Reality is focused on me and for me. I am not in that reality, but somehow outside it looking in. I am in a sweet spot where I can see the world, but I am actually not in it. There are points in my life where it seems as if I am watching a movie of my life. I look around and I imagine the staging and planning of the performances of those around me. This performance looks rehearsed, clumsy, amateur. Sometimes when I wake from a dream, I say to myself, what a ridiculous story. That was bad theater. If I were a dream critic, I would write a scathing review of that dream. The casting was cliched. The production values were pitiful. I would berate the director for his pathetic choices and decry the pacing, the dramatic arcs, the narrative structure, the pathetically cliched themes of the dream. But then I realized that it was me who had created this experience. No one else was to blame. It was in my mind that the dream had been staged. I was the director. I was the screenwriter, the dramaturge, the costume designer. No one else saw this appalling insult to the theatrical arts, and no one cared about it but me. And now I think the same thing about waking life. This reality is just another dream. It is just another set of experiences happening in my head. It doesn't rely on anything outside myself.
It was just a small town before the spores came. The spores. A small but pervasive alien race. With doomful intent. The spores. They descended on the small town, and nothing could be done. Will there be retribution for the spores? Scientists are working now in underground laboratories. The cumulative wealth of America is behind these laboratories. We need to develop a cure for the spores. July 3rd, 2013. A series of unexplained car crashes in the town center. July 22nd, 2013. Fire at the Holcim Dairy Farm. Cole Holcim claims he saw a black figure, but he was blind drunk. July 23rd, 2013. The rodents have left town. They're all gone. July 27th, 2013. Dark clouds descend on the city. High-pitched tone pervades the swamps. Reports indicate that people cannot sleep. September 5th, 2013. Coach Chester disappears. Mysteriously, all cat videos Coach Chester posted on YouTube also disappear. It was a particularly bad season for allergies this year. September 22nd, 2013. A line down the road to McDonald's becomes violent as people pile over each other for their Big Macs. September 29th, 2013. Parade for local hero astronaut Tom Thompson is canceled. No explanation given. That same day, a local woman, Wilma Easton, comes home to find her house filled with rabid dogs.
So I had an audition for a kind of theater program in Prague, Czech Republic, and I was staying in this house through Airbnb, and it was the night before the audition, and a few hours before that, I had realized that what I had prepared for the text that I had to perform on the audition day was wrong. I couldn't perform those, so I picked I had to pick something that feels close to me, that feels very dear and close. And I wanted to be I wanted to be honest in my choice. So I started looking through Iranian poetry, because Iranian poetry is probably the only language that I really understand. So I picked this poem because it talks about what I'm trying to achieve in my life, in my spiritual life. And I looked for different translations of it. I know Rumi has different people translating his poems, and translations are almost like writing a new poem. From the ones that I saw, I picked this one. It felt more close to the original Farsi version. And I was just trying to be respectful of the house owner, and I decided to whisper the poem and record it on my phone. Then my plan was to listen to it repeatedly again and again so I can memorize it for the next day. I guess the fact that I didn't want the owner to hear what I was saying, and at the same time I wanted to be clear enough to have the words separated in my mind when I hear them, made it an interesting thing. When I listened to it, it sounded very secrety, as the poem says. It sounded like I was telling secrets to myself. And I guess also because Rumi talks about what we don't see as the most important thing in life, and he calls everything that we don't see and cannot feel God. Feel the presence of some sort of power in. I was feeling that in that room that I was recording, something hidden that is somehow communicating through me with me. So I felt like maybe some sort of connection was made that night through that act that I did. And it felt accidentally very natural. And yeah. So about this poem, when I first heard the Farsi version of this poem through a song, I was too little to even try to understand what the content is about. And I guess I'm still too little to understand what the content is. But I have, in my own personal existence, I have resistance to what life offers me. I have many closed doors that keeping those doors closed have made me suffer and not really flower. So, and Rumi's, he says, like, he has a ton of books, but the content is that what matters is one thing, and that's love. And all the rest of the things in the universe are just sidetracks, and what distracts us from what the main thing is. And in this poem, he refers to what comes to us, to each one of us, in our experience of life, through our five senses, and how accepting we should be of all the things that come to us, whether we consider them good or bad. And he basically says that all of it is honey. It's all sweet because it's a giving. It shouldn't be assumed as something assumed, that it has to be, it's gifted to us, and it has to be, we have to be grateful for it, even if it's something very painful, emotionally painful. I guess it's my practice, or my tendency to read Rumi's poems and his writings is my practice to open those doors that I have around me and accept everything and play with everything that comes rather than having a yes or no answer to it.
I am enslaved to fate. Other than fate, say not a thing. Honey is sweet, tastes great. Other than great, say not a thing. Of pain, speak nothing. If joy not bring, say not a thing. If for you, this has no ring, joyously sing, say not a thing. I had once gone insane. Love whispered when saw my pain. I've come and will remain. Madness refrain, say not a thing. I said, oh love, I fear the things other than the ear. Said, thou may thus appear, to me is clear, say not a thing. I'll whisper in your ear, secrets to you bring near, nod your head and hold dear, silently hear, say not a thing. The face I see so well, angel or man, pray do tell. Said, this is other than angel, nor with man dwell, say not a thing. Pray tell, what do I see? Else all my senses will flee. From senses remain free, and just be, say not a thing. You reside in this abode, where color and falsehood explode. Rise up, take up the road, pick up your load, say not a thing.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, an experimental radio program from NASCAD University. This episode was called The Thought That Counts. Performers included Mark Hines, Thomas Doucette, Raphael McDonald, Maeve Mulroy, Nick Owen, Lara Lewis, Ian Matheson, David Clark, Alexander Robier, Nathan Wilson, and Hassan Hanif. Sound design and editing was by David Clark. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com. Please like us on Facebook at Nothing to See Here Radio. Stay tuned next week for another episode of Nothing to See Here.